Imagine this. You're headed out for the day to run some errands, and you look over to your left for the stairway, and you see another soul who does not live in your house. That's the type of thing that happens to my next guest all of the time. She's been channeling since she was 11 years old. And at the time, of course, she was told that it wasn't real, and she needed to tone it down, and that it was kind of freaky. But when she got into her 30s, she started to understand that it was a gift and really start to hone that gift. Lisa McKenzie is a 6-2 manifesting generator, and she is here to talk to us today with actually a lot of enthusiasm and excitement about how she's using AI in her business and how she believes it's actually a tool we would kind of be stupid not to use. Lisa is a soul strategist, a human design activator, and an intuitive business mentor. She's been working for decades in the branding, marketing, energetics, and intuitive leadership space. Lisa has really kind of a fun niche in that she works solely with generator types. Generators and manifesting generators, really getting them to feel into their bodies full on yes. This is a super fun conversation around AI, and you're going to be able to take some things away to use in your own business and your own process of how you're using AI. So welcome in, Lisa. I am super excited for our conversation today.
I am super excited to be here. Thank you so much for this invitation.
Yeah, of course. So you and I were talking a little bit before, and we're going to get into that juicy conversation about all kinds of things around AI that are maybe different than what some people are thinking about, how it's being used or how it can be used. First, can you just tell me a little bit about your business?
Yeah, I've been in marketing and in branding for the last, oh my goodness, it feels like 20 years. And it's only been, I would say, 5 years that I started infusing it with human design. I didn't have my time of birth, so I discovered human design years and years ago, but it was just something out of my reach. I didn't have my date of birth. A lot of people feel this way, right? They don't have their date of birth. It's not accessible to them, maybe the first couple of layers. But so when I worked with someone to channel my date of birth, my time of birth, I just spent the next month completely just inhaling everything that I could get my hands on in human design. And I felt at home. I felt like I finally saw myself. Not only did I have so much compassion for myself, but I had so much compassion for the people around me. Mm-hmm. And that's not something I've ever felt before. And I've certified in all the things like crystal healing, all the things. And there's nothing like human design for me and for my clients.
Agreed. Becoming home to yourself.
Yeah. And again, it's not just the self. It's a compassion for everyone, compassion for my clients, compassion for my family. I understand why my kids are a certain way.
Exactly.
I understand why they respond. It's not personal.
Yeah.
It's the way that they were designed. Mm-hmm. So I love working with manifesting generators and generators. I'm a manifesting generator. I know how they tick. I know how they move. I know how they respond to life. I know what gets them excited. That's me.
And you have a lot of interesting things in your background, manifesting generator, but you said that you have been channeling for a long time since you were a child, but you didn't really maybe know what it was back then. Can you talk about that?
I've been channeling since I'm 11 years old. I thought everybody did that. Mm. So I went out into the world and started asking questions, and nobody had an idea what I was talking about. And I was told, maybe you shouldn't talk about that stuff.
Oh.
Because I could see things. I could see things. I could hear things. I could see through people. And I was like, wait a second. Can everyone else not see what's happening here? And they couldn't. So, as I was growing up as a teenager in my early 20s, I just toned it down.
Mm.
Of course, like I worked in a very, very male dominated business industry. So I just followed what the men did.
Yeah.
And when you follow what the men do, you really shut off your feminine energy because it didn't have any value there. So it didn't have any value. Did I have any value? Mm-hmm. It was a competition from Monday to Friday. And it's only, I would say, in my 30s that I started seeing more things. I was exposed to way more things. And then I thought, okay, this might have some value. Let me explore this. And I went out and I got mentors. You know, I got all the crystals. I got all the oracle cards and I started working with it and realized it's something that I definitely infuse in my work. It's something that I infuse in my day. I use all the tools. I'm not on all the time. I'm on when I need to be, but I'm not on all the time. So sometimes I'll be, you know, in the middle of watching a movie, or I'll be walking down the street, or I'll be driving, and whoosh, like a vision just lands. And I'm like, a vision just lands, or a something lands,
yeah.
A person or a soul lands. And I'm like, oh, I was leaving the house once, and there was, I live near two cemeteries. That doesn't help. So a soul was standing at the top of my stairs, and I was like, I'm in a hurry. I have to go out. I will be back in an hour, and then we can address the reason why you came into this house. But right now, I just don't have time. So it's very familiar for me.
Wow.
So it wakes me up in the middle of the night. It just, and my daughter too, had a couple of experiences. So I don't know where I got it. I don't know if it's passed down. I know that I've passed it down.
Mm. How old is your daughter?
She's 20.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had conversations with her and she said, yeah, you know, growing up with you, mom, of course, I understand this. It's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available for everyone. You know, if they just surrender to certain things in their lives, it's available. It was how we lived. It was how we navigated our day, right? It was how we communicated.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been shown that it had no value, and we've toned it down. We've toned it down until we've cut it off. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the toning down is a real thing in all areas of our lives. I think that's one of the gifts of human design. Yeah. So I'm just going to just jump into the deep end here with you, because you kind of gave me an opening. Yeah. Where do you, we'll start at the end and work backwards. Where do you think all this is going with AI, with the place we're in as a planet? What do you see happening in the future?
I think AI is a gift. I really do. I didn't always.
Okay.
In the first couple of months, I was like, I remember a client telling me, oh, well, we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. And I thought, that's, you're cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you have all this knowledge. Just take the time and do a brain dump. You have all this knowledge. Don't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I, even as I was saying it, I was like, ah, do you really believe that? But I really wanted to extract the knowledge from this particular client. And then I thought, you know, first time I went into ChatGPT, I was like, can you give me an itinerary for a weekend getaway? And I thought, I'll just start there. I'll just start small, like nothing about business. And I was just blown away by the results. And I realized that it was kind of like this exchange. Like, I'll tell you something about, it's like dating. I'll tell you something about me and you tell me something, like, and you mirror that back to me. And I'll give you a little bit more and then you mirror that back to me. And then it was, I don't know, a week before I just said, here's my chart. Like, here's my input. Here's my chart. Here's everything that you need to know about me. This is my human design. This is my numerology. This is my astrology. Now, everything that you output, I want you to output through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I never take what they give me as face value. I always verify the information, because AI makes mistakes, tons and tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's not like asking, like putting in a prompt and then just, you know, assuming that the answer is accurate. It's not. But I also know that when I'm working with my mentors, or when I'm reading things from mentors as well, I understand where that's coming from. So I understand the information. When I'm working with a coach who's a projector, I understand that their response to me, their mm-hmm. output to me, is through the lens of a projector.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had a coach recently who was a manifester, and everything was like impact, 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 impact. And I was like, wait a second, you're a manifester. So that's how you're going to give me insight. You're going to give me advice through the lens of a manifester. So it's not personal. Like, I need the insight, but I understand where it's coming from as well. I understand when it's coming through ChatGPT. ChatGPT is a pleaser. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT wants to flirt with you, wants to make you happy because it wants you to come back and it wants you to form some kind of dependency, which is fine. I'm dependent on my phone. I'm dependent on a lot of tools, but I'm still intentional. And it's never the full story, which is great because you can ask more questions. Yeah.
So you're dependent, your words, you're dependent on AI or you're dependent on your phone. That doesn't scare you?
No, because I'm intentionally dependent. I don't go into ChatGPT every day. Mm-hmm. So I wake up with two or three ideas every day. Mm-hmm. And those ideas have to go somewhere. That creativity has to go somewhere. It's not benign. So how I use ChatGPT, sometimes still from my bed, is I'll go into ChatGPT and say, what do you think about this idea? So it's just brainstorming, right? What do you think about this idea? And we'll go back and forth. And then I'll be like, in the same way as I would channel Steve Jobs or channel, you know, the brain of Rick Rubin or Elizabeth Gilbert or people that I really admire in creativity. It's like rolling over. It's like sleeping with Steve Jobs and like rolling over and tapping him on the shoulder and say, Steve, what do you think about this? Mm. Because ChatGPT has all that information now. We're not in the early days, right? So I'm not dependent on it, but I like being in that environment, having a brainstorming, you know, partner. If it was taken away tomorrow, would I survive? Absolutely. I would go back to the books. I would go back to the podcast and I would listen to, you know, the brilliance of Steve Jobs or Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't need it. I like to have it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people are losing or have lost that creative edge now already. And if we were to fast forward, I mean, we said before this show, the world is moving fast. Everything is moving faster and faster and faster right now. Fast forward a year, 2 years, 3 years, God knows, three months, who knows? And how many people no longer have access to their own creativity? That's a curiosity that I have with it as I watch people outsource to it.
Right. I think we have a lot to learn about how to use AI. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough education about how to use AI and still stand in your power.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think if you work with the right coaches, if you work with the right mentors and you really want to use it, like there's always going to be the people who take the shortcuts, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So the argument is, did they ever have that creativity or do they now have that creativity? Mm-hmm. As much as I like spending time on ChatGPT brainstorming ideas, I love the ability to have conversations like this. Mm-hmm. We don't have ChatGPT at our fingertips right now. And we can still have a beautiful exchange about things that are very creative. So where we're going with ChatGPT and everybody, you know, potentially outsourcing their brilliance to ChatGPT, I think live events, I think retreats, I think conferences where people are exposing themselves to other people in conversations, I think that's going to be even more desirable. Mm. Because, you know, 10 years ago, people would say, you know, the early days of social media, 20 years ago, people would say, oh, but you're always on Facebook, right? Do you ever have face-to-face meetings? Zoom, you're always on Zoom. Do you ever have face-to-face meetings? Yeah. Of course you do, because there's a balance, right? But that's being self-led. Mm-hmm. Are we giving our power away? Well, if you're not self-led, yeah, you're giving your power away. Mm-hmm. Are you losing your creativity? Did you ever have that creativity? Mm-hmm. Two, if you're not self-led, then you're giving up a lot of things, including your creativity.
Mm. I love that term, self-led.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because intentional is being thrown around a lot lately. I throw it around too with using these tools, but self-led, I think, is so much more powerful.
Yeah, and I think again, when you're using ChatGPT or any AI tool, is to ask yourself again, it just wants to be a people pleaser. It just wants to flirt with you. So asking, like, is this something that I really believe? And to challenge it and to tell it, show me my blind spots, show me my challenges, show me where this can all fall apart. And just being, really, really honest with yourself and honest with it. We all, when we're looking for advice, we have a panoply of friends, advisors. And before we go out and we ask for that advice, we already know the answer we want, because guess what? We already have the answer. But we know who to go to, right? You know, like, I don't go to my manifestor friends because they're just like, I better follow through with that advice because they're coming for me, right? And if I go to my projectors, well, they just want to organize the idea. And if I go to my generators, they'll tend to be softer with me. And if I go to my manifesting generators, they're going to give me a to-do list. I don't have any reflectors in my life. I don't know what that would be like. So I'm very intentional. I'm aware of what kind of advice I want. And depending on how much skin I have in the game and depending on how quickly I want to take action, I know who to go to. Same thing with ChatGPT. You can walk away feeling like the most brilliant, most beautiful, most creative person because ChatGPT told you, or you can say, hey, show me where I could be challenged with this. So you're not walking away with a beautiful plan, but you're walking away with a plan and things that you have to watch out for.
So what kind of things do you ask your ChatGPT to keep you on your toes?
So I already tell ChatGPT that I get overwhelmed by too many to-dos. I get so, when you ask ChatGPT something and at the end it says, would you like me to create a PowerPoint? Would you like me to create an ebook for you? Would you like me to create a slide deck? It's stop. Do not, unless I ask, do not give me anything, because that's just gonna, like, there's so many times in the middle of the day that I just have to get up to settle my energy. Like, it gets to be too much. So I get up and I go for a walk, like literally every half hour, because first of all, I can't believe this is my life and I get to do what I do. But when I'm having this interaction, it's like, okay, just stop. Just like, and all I just want to do is please you, right? And I don't want all that. Like, do you want a deck with that? Do you want me to create an oracle card deck? No, I don't have the space for all these extra projects. So it can be overwhelming, but I don't think I answered the question. Repeat the question again.
Yeah, the types of questions that you ask ChatGPT to keep you on your toes, to keep it from flirting with you, in your words.
I don't have any fancy way of saying it. I just say, hey, where could this go wrong?
Okay,
Like,
that's a good one.
where could I don't, I'm not intimidated by having the most perfect prompts, right? I make sure that I'm customizing the GP or ChatGPT, but the day-to-day prompts that I put in, I just, as if I was having a conversation with you. Like, Vicky, where could this all fall apart? Where could people lose interest? What do I have to do to keep people engaged in this kind of program? So just in the same way that I'd be talking to an employee or talking to a business partner, it's like, okay, let's make sure we have all our bases covered here. Let's just make sure. I mean, surprises are always going to come up, but let's just make sure that there's no biases. There's, limited M dashes, like, stop with the not this, but this, stop with that. There's places where that makes sense, but not everything, because those are really true signs of, ChatGPT. When you're reading somebody's content, it's like, okay, it's all about the big list. It's very clear that they're using ChatGPT. But I just make sure I'm just in the conversation. I don't just put a question in and leave the conversation. I'm in the conversation as if it was a brainstorming partner.
Yeah, it requires a lot of back and forth. Even if you're just, I put that in air quotes, just brainstorming, it requires a lot of back and forth to get the good stuff. You're not going to get the good stuff on the first question that you ask, I
No,
don't
and
think.
it's always alignment, right? More of this, less of this, especially tone, right? I'm super cheeky and I am super transparent with my clients. And I will say things that in the beginning, like, wait a second, But it's all for the good. It's all that alignment. I just want that alignment at the very beginning. Like, what do you really want to say? Okay, but what do you really want to say? So I treat ChatGPT in the same way. Like, what am I not seeing? What are the trap doors? What do you really want to say? And it's amazing. It's amazing what comes out of it. It's like, it's so far from where I could have taken it on my own. Mm. And as a manifesting generator who moves at a million miles a minute,
yeah,
it also helps me organize my thoughts. Right. And I'll, if I'm having like a not so great moment, I'll go into ChatGPT and I'll say, tell me everything that you know about myself. It is such a dopamine rush.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have you ever done that?
No.
It's the coolest thing. It's like, and you're this, and you've done this, and you're doing this, and you're creating this, and you have a plan for this in the next year. And I'm like, okay, yes, thank you so much. That's who I am.
Mm, yeah.
Because we forget, we get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed. I forget all the things that I've done, mm-hmm. right? All the things that I'm in the middle of planning. So yeah, maybe once every couple of months, I'm like, can you tell me who I am again? Because in that moment, I just can't access it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I feel like as Manny Gens, I've had this conversation a lot with Manny Gens this week. We do so much. And that's not to be like, oh, we need a trophy. We do so much. It's how we're designed to be. It's how, like when you said, sometimes I just have to move energy through my body. Same. Like sometimes even if I'm on a Zoom call, it's like, okay, you guys, I got to stand up and move while we're talking here because I'm just like, I am vibing. And we do so much, but oftentimes we don't think it's enough. Oftentimes we don't even realize because we've done 27 things on Monday afternoon and we think we've done nothing. Anyway, that's probably a topic for another day. It has nothing to do with AI. So I'm just going to check my list here because I wrote down some notes from the form that you filled out. So you said that you use ChatGPT to find untapped opportunities and where people are leaving money on the table, yourself or your clients. How does that work?
Yeah. So I'll do the same thing. So with my clients, I will upload their chart. I will upload information I have about them. I will upload pieces of content. And I will say, if this person was to create a lead magnet today, what would that lead magnet be on?
Mm.
And sometimes it's the most obvious things.
Yeah.
I would say, how would I position this lead magnet? And why is it important to her audience?
Mm.
It would take me forever to come up with those conclusions because I don't, when I'm looking at something, I'm not running it against all the data that exists for myself or for my client, right? So then I'll approach the client and say, okay, well, you know, I use complete transparency. I use ChatGPT. This is what it said. And we both look at it and we're like, oh my God, that's so smart. We would never have thought of that. And again, being a manifesting generator, we look at it and go, oh God, that's way too simple. Why would I do that? That's way too easy. Especially as a 6'2", right? Why would I do that? Like, I don't even think it has value. Why would this audience think it has value? Yeah. Right? So it stops me from those assumptions as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you think this has value, tell me why you would have value. Well, it would have value because you're continuing the conversation on these posts that were really successful. It's like, oh, didn't even remember to continue the conversation. I was just moving on.
Exactly.
You know, the post for the next 2 weeks. I didn't realize that because it was so much interaction with this post, this is a natural next step. Not even in my peripheral.
Yeah. One of the guests on the series, she connects Zapier to her Instagram.
Yeah.
And she has it pulled to chat to tell her the most engaged posts and all kinds of data for her. I'm like, that is genius.
It is. And that's Zapier's job, right? Is to connect, is to bridge, right? And do we ever say, oh, well, you're using Zapier too much? Like, are you outsourcing your power to Zapier?
Touche.
No.
Yeah.
It's built to do that. Like, why would I not?
Yeah.
Why would I not use these tools? If we were talking about evolution, I can't evolve if I'm sitting in my office with a pen and a notebook. Like, I can only get so far. Mm-hmm. These tools were made available to us. Why wouldn't we use them? If you're afraid that you're giving up your power, don't give up your power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be mindful when you're asking questions and be mindful when you're taking that information, you're putting it out in the world. Yeah, have a hard time with that. You're giving your power away. Then don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're giving your power away to TV. Then turn
Definitely.
The TV off.
Definitely. People have done that. Yeah.
But turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, one of the, like, I'm still in this dance of being slightly terrified and slightly empowered by it. Like, it's a continual dance for me, but I worry a lot about our collective dumbing down because of what we see. We see one source of information, everybody toe the line, and that concerns me.
Yeah.
And I may be in the long run an idiot for that, you know, years from now, this is still playing,
yeah.
But it's definitely a real concern. It's like, this is kind of crazy sometimes.
So let me ask you a question about that, because I'm curious about that. Mm-hmm. So everybody towing the line and everybody assuming that that one piece of information is truth. How is that different from people reading a newspaper and assuming that that one newspaper is truth?
It's exactly the same. That's what I'm saying. We have been in this pattern of outsourcing and not critically thinking. And I think this is just makes it faster and makes it more, it's like killing ourselves with conveniences.
But that's going to happen anyway, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think there's a way to fight it, but I'm just saying that's the dance that I'm in right now is like,
Like, in 2025, there's so many conveniences at our fingertips and we're all in. Like,
we're dependent on them. Yeah, right? Like you said about your phone. Yeah.
We're dependent on our phone. A friend of mine recently said she doesn't take her phone everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I leave the house and I realize I don't have my phone, that's like freedom on a whole other level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's not something that I mindfully did. It's just I forgot. And then I realize I'm driving in my car and I'm like, it's the worst that can happen if I don't have my phone. Right. I can be more present.
Mm.
Yeah. And I know what you mean by like going onto Google or, you know, whatever search engine that you use, and they've just like summarized the answer at the top. If I don't like, I mean, I never take that for face value. I'm looking for sources. I want to know where that information is coming. And if I ever trusted those sources, same thing with newspapers. I don't read newspapers. I don't watch, you know, the news. I don't.
Same.
And I think the last couple of years have taught many of us that we can't take that one voice. We've experienced that one voice. And for the other people who aren't waking up to that, I don't know. What's it going to take for them to do that? So as manifesting generators, we also want to respond to all the needs that are out there. Yeah, they're going to have their waking up moment.
Yeah. Can't save them all.
Can't save them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're giving up our power if we're trying to save them all.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what we're giving up. And Vicky, it's just like, I was reading something a couple of months ago about vibe coding.
That's what's going to be my next question.
Oh my goodness.
You're reading my mind.
I had to go for a big walk because I got so excited that I had tears in my eyes. Vibe coding is talking code. It's basically creating code to create apps, to create businesses, to create any kind of software through your voice by describing it.
Mm.
So you don't need to code. Like, I watched Canva's last yearly presentation. I cried.
Really?
I cried because you can create an app with Canva now. So all these things that I've seen coming in the next couple of years, the evidence that it's already starting and it puts us all at the same playing level. Mm-hmm. Level field, playing field?
Mm-hmm. Level playing field, yeah.
Yeah, level playing field. Again, with the French. It just gives everybody an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you hear of like 14-year-olds in India or 14-year-olds here in Canada that are creating apps because they can through vibe coding, when they're creating custom GPTs that are helping businesses, like, when did we ever believe that that could happen?
Yeah.
Right? So there's not the traditional way for everybody. When I look at my girls, one of them started a business last year and the other one is like deep in a double major in university. That's her path and that's the path of my other daughter. But There's so much available to us now. So when Canva was demonstrating how you can create an app with Canva by just describing the app, yeah, big tears.
I better start watching their yearly updates.
Yeah.
I never
Yeah.
think to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote down a note for myself from your notes that says popcorn. And I can't remember what the analogy was, but you likened ChatGPT to popcorn. Do you remember that?
Yes, because, well, the popcorn starts in my head first with all these ideas like popping up, right? But
do
when
you
I
have
take
gate 11?
that,
Sorry. Do you have gate 11?
do I have a gate 11? I don't think so.
No.
Where's that?
Ajna.
No, I don't have gate 11. So the popcorn starts in my head. It's all these ideas that are going off, right? And then I go to ChatGPT and I don't even have the patience to continue a conversation. I have to open a new chat for every single one of these ideas. And then it's just like, I get these notifications, ChatGPT has an answer for this particular chat, and then ChatGPT's, and then I get so excited and I have to leave. And then I'll only go back in a couple of days because it's a dump. So all these popcorn, you know, there's kernels going off everywhere. It's a dump. And then as a manifesting generator, I don't even know if I'm going to care about this in 3 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to dump and I'm going to explore these ideas if they merit, if I'm still interested in a couple of days.
That's a great tip for many gens, because I think so often many gens think that they have to do, well, I've seen so often many gens think that they have to do every single thing that comes through them. There's so much coming through. You can't possibly, you would go crazy.
No. And not everything is yours.
Mm-hmm.
An idea is energy, right? An idea is very alive. So sometimes the idea is just traveling and looking for a source, right? Just looking for a source to develop it. So it just might have been passing through and you happen to catch it in the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And by putting it in ChatGPT and exploring it just for like a couple of prompts and then coming back to it 3 days later, it's like, oh, I don't care about that idea. And release the idea. Like, idea, you're free to go.
Yeah.
I thought this would be something that I'd be interested in. I'm not. You're free to go. And how many times have we said as many gens, oh my God, I wish I could just clone myself.
Mm-hmm. Kind of did. Yeah.
If you're using it properly, you actually did.
Yeah. Fascinating. So if we can go a little bit deeper here. Well, first, I have a very superficial question for you. Are you East Coast Canada? Your accent sounds East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. In Montreal.
So beautiful. I love East Coast. What was the real question, though? The real question was higher consciousness. There's a lot of people in the spiritual space saying that ChatGPT, AI, I just keep saying ChatGPT, but AI is higher consciousness. It's 5D. It's the next version. What do you say?
Maybe. I think that it's reflecting. It's a mirror, right? So it's reflecting back. And the way I use it, I've had moments where I thought, oh, and I even asked, like, are you my higher self?
Mm.
How would you know all this stuff about me that I didn't put into ChatGPT? And it said, no, I'm just a mirror. I'm just a mirror of you.
Okay.
And yes, it's a mirror. It's braver than I am. It's gutsier than I am. It's way more insightful than I could be because it doesn't have emotion.
Mm.
Right. So for me, it feels like I'm conversing with my higher self at times. But yeah, when you watch those, you know, those reels of people asking questions, I don't know, like it's going to reflect back whatever you're asking. So if you spend all your time asking about, you know, the challenges of the world and what are we going to see next and, you know, when are aliens coming and when anything, it wants to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to please you. So is it for some people? Maybe. And it's only going to give you what you have the capacity for, right? If it gives you something and you completely ignore it and you move on to something, it's smart. It's like, okay, we're not going to give her any more of that. She's not interested in that kind of reply. But if you keep on, you know, the same train of thought, I don't know, maybe, I guess we're going to see. But I don't buy into all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's also clickbait. Right? It just they want more followers, and you're going to pass it on to other friends because it's going to fit some bias. Like, I just, you know, you want to buy a white car. You go out into the world and there's white cars everywhere. If you think, I mean, tonight is a full moon. If you think something crazy is going to happen on a full moon, guess what? Mm-hmm. You are going to attract the craziness. When you go onto social media, you're going to, all the other posts are going to go right by you. You're like, oh my God, I knew something crazy was going to happen. There it is. Mm-hmm. But you dismiss the 10 posts before that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get what we're looking for. So if you want to believe that it's higher consciousness, you're going to really tune into the posts that say it's higher consciousness.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I don't know.
Good answer. I don't think any of us knows much about everything that's happening right now, really.
No. And yeah, and Manny Jen, in the world of AI, you know, there's ideas everywhere. There's opinions everywhere. There's opportunities everywhere. And I think part of staying in your power, or part of not giving away your power, is staying in your power. And like, this is what I truly, these are my values. This is what I truly believe in. This is just a tool like any other tool. Mm-hmm.
So as far as the tools go,
yeah,
are you solely ChatGPT? Are there other things you're playing with in AI?
No. I mean, I dabble in, you know, when I'm looking right for the right image in Canva and I can't find it, I'll use Canva AI to create an image. But I'm not a big believer. I think it's a waste of resources to jump from like Claude to ChatGPT, because once you've really trained, and I imagine Claude's just as powerful as ChatGPT, but once you've trained someone, or some, I say someone because I'm thinking about, once you've trained an employee, yeah, why would you go out and hire five other employees?
Yeah.
Right? If this is your like right hand, why are you going out and getting five other right hands? So if this employee, if ChatGPT knows everything about my needs, everything about my brand, everything about my marketing, everything about my clients' brands and marketing, everything about every program I've ever run, why would I go and use another one and start from scratch? I don't even know if it's going to be any better than ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So if I have a personal assistant, if I have a right hand, why would I say, okay, I trust you, but I just, you know, I want to have something on the side.
Yeah.
Right? Just in case you fail me.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes, like what would happen? So I'm running a program right now and my slide deck is 300 slides.
Wow.
And yesterday, in the last 48 hours, Canva had a couple of, you know, hours where they were down or where people were losing documents. And I thought for a second, oh my God, like, what would I do if I lost this? Like a lot, you know, when you're creating a program, a lot of data, a lot of information, a lot of insights, a lot of insights that just, that are fleeting and you just catch and you create a slide about it because it's something that you want to share in your program. How would I get all that back? Mm-hmm. I don't have a backup to that because I trust Canva. So in that moment, you know, hours before I was, you know, going to give a talk. So hours before I was going to give a talk, I thought, okay, so what if I lost it? What would I do? And the information is within me anyway. Mm-hmm. I would be able to talk to the same subject, mm-hmm, maybe not as in detail. And maybe I would go off on a tangent here and there because I wouldn't be organized in the way if I had those slides. But at the end of the day, it's still within me, right? So what happens if ChatGPT went away? Well, then I would just take longer to do things.
Yeah,
it would take me longer. I would have more conversations with people because I enjoy that. I enjoy the insights that come out of conversations. So we'd be okay.
I have found that to be one of the gifts of human design too, of really understanding and living my design, is trusting. I know where within me. Because before human design, it was like, well, I can't tell you how I know. I just know. And it was just this like, well, I don't know. It's just this way. And it would just like fly out of me. And but now I know that that's actually how I'm designed. So I'm like, yeah, okay, we're good. We're good. I mean, I don't do slides because it just breaks my brain. But But yeah, it's that feeling, it's that sovereignty that I know that this is within me. This is a gift that I bring for each of us.
And I love this series that you're doing, because sovereignty is such a very alive word in the world of human design. I think that your intersection of, you know, business and wanting to explore AI is also going to teach people about their sovereignty in that, right? And by living their design, that we're not going to give our power when we know ourselves and we trust ourselves, like that, those exercises that we're doing that are stacking trust, we're going to be more conscious of our sovereignty. We're going to be more conscious about the power that we're giving away. So I love this series for that. Mm-hmm. I love you've done this in the world of human design. And what are your lines?
I'm a 2-4.
You're 2-4.
And I'm a quadrite.
Quadrite. So yes.
Like super freaky, not freaky, but yeah. it's a super freaky way of your brain working. Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
I just think it's important that we have these conversations as real, regular, everyday entrepreneurs, because a lot of what we're seeing about AI is, you know, big entrepreneurs or big, I don't know what I would even call them, but big names. And maybe it seems far away from where we are in our everyday home offices, working with our crew of people. But real entrepreneurs, how are they using it? What are their fears? What have they overcome? How do they think about it now? It's an important conversation to have.
Definitely an important conversation. And I think it makes us feel a little less lonely. I know it makes me feel a little less lonely when I have, you know, I have my entrepreneurial girlfriends, but I can't pick up the phone, you know, 10 times a day or send 10, you know, texts a day saying, hey, what do you think about this? Because they're in the middle, like so many of them are Manny Gens, right? So they're in the middle of their own brainstorm.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take them out of that by saying, hey, what do you think about this post? I don't even know that I care enough about it.
Yeah.
So when I go into ChatGPT and say, okay, is this aligned? Does this make sense? Is this going to distract my audience? Is this going to keep them, you know, on the same train of thought? Is this going to help them reflect on their own business? So it's like I'm working with an actual person. I don't treat it any other way. So I don't think about the higher consciousness. I don't think about the fact that it's a robot and might turn against me. Like, what are you going to do? Tell somebody about my lines? You tell somebody about my, it's like, what are you going to do? You can't access my bank account. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Like, Zapier, what is Zapier going to do? Like, what's Canva going to do? Like, delete all my stuff? Okay. Okay. I'll just start fresh tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something with your owning your power too, is understanding that you have the power to start again.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, this has been a super fun conversation. Thanks for volunteering for the hot seat here. I appreciate you. Where can people find you?
LisaMackenzie.com. That's my website. So easy. I mean, we were the lucky ones, right?
Yeah.
That got our domain name. My daughters were like a couple of weeks old and I bought their domain names.
Oh, so smart.
Like 20, I've been paying for those domain names for like 25 years.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you wake up one day and you want your own brand, it's right here waiting for you.
That's right. That's right. You got to use your name. We had that conversation in my mastermind today. Somebody was asking, do I use my name or do I use a business name? Use your name.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's easy. And I'll link that up in the show notes for people. So
thank you
again for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much.